Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to weekend sports, we don't slow down.
It starts here.
This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Which NFL player would take home MVP after the first half of the year? Which NFL rookies will be rookies of the year on the offensive defensive side of the ball? And if Dom and I had the power, who would we name NFL coach of the year as we are just over the halfway mark of the NFL season? Well, guess what? Tonight on Time Out with Eric Slaughter, Eric and Dom absolutely have the power to hand out some hardware. We got our votes, we got our ballots, and we are going to go to the envelopes. So we're going to run down the seven, or is it eight, major awards that the NFL will give out at the end of the year. And Eric and Dom, we are going to give our opinions on what we think have been the first half awards, and we'll see how, you know, we differ. We'll see what happens later in the year. We're going to write these down, and we're going to come back later in the year. We'll see how these players finish out the year and whether or not what we think is what's going to happen throughout the year. So, Dom, we'll go one by one. I will ask you first, and then I will give my opinion, and we'll see where we have similarities, and we will see where we have differences. So, let's start with the rookies. Now, I ain't going to lie. I had to look up some stats because I haven't really seen, other than one or two rookies that are really, you know, just balling out of control, haven't had a chance to really see some of these other guys play. But we will start on the offensive side of the ball because that's where most of the big-time rookies have been playing. I mean, what was it, the first 15 picks in the draft?
Something crazy like that.
Was all offensive rookie players. A lot of them were skill position guys. A lot of them are doing well so far in the NFL. But we got to pick one for the 92.9 The Game Eric and Dom first half NFL award. So, Dom, without further ado, who is your first half NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year?
So for Offensive Rookie of the Year, a little tough. There's, I think, for the majority of the season, it's been Jaden Daniels.
Having a great first half, got the Commanders in playoff contention. I think, are they in first place or tied for first place?
I believe they might be tied because I know Philly kind of got their stuff together. I'm not sure their exact standings at the moment. But
they're in second, 7-4 versus Phillies. Wow, Phillies 8-2.
8-2. Okay, that's what I thought.
And won six in a row.
Yeah, I would say Phillies.
Wow.
Phillies. They were,
man,
they were off to a rough start at the beginning of the year, but they've figured out the formula.
Might have to rethink my coach of the year.
I ain't giving it Sirianni. But Daniels has been very good. However, he was running away with it, but he started to leave some room. I think he's been playing through some injury, I think, with the ribs.
Yeah, he
definitely hasn't looked the same the past few weeks. And I'll put my hand up. I didn't think that he would play well, but Bo Nix has played
very well recently.
In Denver.
Especially as of recently.
Atlanta Falcons fans know well.
What's the coach? Sean Payton.
Hey, listen.
He is a quarterback guru.
Listen, the one thing that he knows how to do is
coach quarterbacks.
Coach quarterbacks, but also beat NFC South teams. The Denver Broncos are 4-0 against the NFC South this year.
So they ran the South already?
Yeah.
Carolina, Tampa, Atlanta, and New Orleans ran the South,
and they've scored 30-plus points in all of those games.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. The one thing Sean Payton knows how to do is beat the NFC South.
Okay.
But I'm actually, and maybe this is just a little bit of quarterback bias because I'm tired of quarterbacks winning all the awards. I'm going to give my offensive rookie of the year. This is a very roundabout way of finally getting my answer, but let me give it to Brock Bowers.
Having a heck of a year.
Having a hell of a season.
Is he the only positive for the Las Vegas Raiders?
Legitimately, the only thing going right for the Las Vegas Raiders right now is Brock Bowers and like Max Crosby. That's it.
Yeah, and actually, I thought Max Crosby was going to get traded.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah.
I was hoping that the red and black of the Atlanta Falcons at least called the Las Vegas Raiders and said, what
Matthew
would it
Judon.
Take?
We're good.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We got him way back in, two and a half sacks later. Yeah. Yeah. How's that working out for us? Boy, we did cartwheels and backflips when we got Matthew Judon, didn't we?
Remember? Remember how fun that was, being excited about that trade when it first went down?
We got two good players. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. So, I like that pick, sir. I like that pick. He's definitely in my top three. I am still going to stay with Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
I think what that young man has done, sparking life into the Washington Commanders, nobody had the Commanders in playoff contention or in division contention in the NFC East in the early year. You've said that. You're lying. What Jaden Daniels did to start the year, winning those, I think, five out of the first six and have these guys at 7-4 and well in playoff contention is a huge deal. We all know what Dom says, the quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. And that young man being the number two pick, came out, won the Heisman Trophy, number two pick in the draft. Right now, he is my pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the Bears are sitting back saying, did we get this thing wrong? That's what the Bears are doing right now.
Well, the Bears are sitting back and saying, we got to get ourselves a damn head coach.
Yeah, would be the offensive coordinator head coach, and they also ask themselves, did we draft the right quarterback? But we'll see. So that is our picks for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Dom went with Brock Bowers. I went with Jaden Daniels. Now, staying with the rookies. After the first 15 offensive picks, we finally got a run on defensive players. So, Dom, after the first 10, 11 games of the year, whatever it is, I know you had to look up the stats just like I did. Who did you come up with? Who would you give Defensive Rookie of the Year to?
Yeah, so it's funny. I feel like this is another award that typically kind of goes to whatever edge rusher is having the best season, especially at that rookie position.
Yep.
The edge rushers aren't balling out. Jared Verse is having a decent season. I think he has like 4.5 sacks. Yeah, I would say he has 4.5 sacks, which would lead us.
Can I say that in another language? He would lead the Falcons in sacks.
But I'm actually going to go with the corner over there in Philly. Quinyon Mitchell has been
Toledo
shut down.
Yes.
From week one. He has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The stats may not all be there.
Another player that was mocked to the Falcons in several drafts.
Yeah, another one. It would have been nice to pair him up with A.J. Terrell, huh?
Yeah.
But no, our first round pick is getting ready to play for us in 2 years.
Yeah. But maybe. And the sad part is, the guy that we thought would be a defensive difference maker from the draft went down in the preseason, Braylon Trice. I thought Trice could really be a real contributor for this team. Injuries, we never can predict them. They're unfortunate. We don't have him. Hopefully he gets back next year and gets it going. But you picked Quinyon Mitchell. I'm going to go straight with Verse. He's got 4.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. He would lead the Falcons by two. He will lead the Falcons by two. He almost has more sacks than the Falcons have as a team.
I was going to say, he's got more sacks than like half of the defense combined.
Yeah, and the Rams are a playoff contending team, and he is a good contributor. Now, when you play, on a line that used to have the greatest defensive tackle of all time, he's got big shoes to fill, but I think what he's doing is good. He's playing on a playoff contender, and he's putting up good numbers. If he keeps it up, he could finish in double-digit sacks as a rookie. that would be a heck of a thing. You know, when have we seen double digit sacks around here? John Abraham, but who? Vic Beasley. Year.
Vic Beasley.
All right, so Dom went with Quinyon Mitchell. I'm going to go with Jared Verse. Those are our rookies of the year on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. All right, let's keep it going. I didn't put this on the list, but I'm going to throw it out there. I bet you can make a pick real quick. Comeback player of the year.
Yes, this one is pretty easy for me. That is J.K. Dobbins.
Running back. That's a good pull.
Yeah, J.K.
And he's with the Chargers, right?
He's with the Chargers.
He's going to have some revenge on his mind Monday night, too, isn't
he's
he?
He's having his best season. He's finally healthy. He's a young man who was extremely talented coming out of college and
Ohio
just
State.
Could not stay healthy.
Yeah, the Ravens had big hopes for him.
Yeah, he literally, it was one major, like, it was literally just season-ending injury after season-ending injury the first, like, three or four years of his career. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ends up in L.A., now he's healthy. He's having a pretty decent season there. So I like J.K. I'll give it to him.
Okay. All right. So I will be a homer on this one. I will stay here in Atlanta, and I will give my midseason comeback player of the year to Kirk Cousins. I'm going to give you one caveat. Mm-hmm. He better keep it going. Okay? He's on pace to throw for like 4,600 yards. He's on pace to throw for like 25, 26 touchdowns. Those are good numbers. We expected between 4,000 and 5,000 yards. That's what we expected. That's what we're getting. We haven't had a 20-plus touchdown quarterback since Matt Ryan 8 years ago. Seems like forever. So, Kirk, keep it up. Keep it going. I wasn't mad when we gave you $100 million guaranteed. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're spreading the ball out. I'm glad you're getting Kyle Pitts involved in the offense. Mm-hmm. Just keep this thing going and win this division.
Do the Falcons have to win this division for him to get that award?
Yes, they do.
I was going to say, is there any way he can win Comeback Player of the Year if the Falcons don't win the division?
No, he cannot. This is a horrible division. This is a division set up for them to take. We just said they should have at least 4 wins going down the stretch. You've beat most of your division opponents. Win the division, you should be Comeback Player of the Year. Kirk Cousins, I'm riding with you. Do not let me down.
All right.
All right, Eric and Dom going through here on our NFL Midseason Awards on this Saturday night here in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. All right, let's get to some of these big ones. Here we go. Your NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Not MVP, which a lot of people forget that. There is an Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year. Who is your NFL Offensive Player of the Year?
This one is super easy. It was what John Mara talked about when he said he was going to have nightmares.
Number 26.
Yeah, if I'm going to have nightmares if Saquon Barkley goes to Philly and plays well.
He said that on Hard Knocks, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He said that on Hard Knocks, yep.
And, guess what?
He's
signed in Philly, and he's playing really well.
Yeah. Yes, he is. And you just cut your quarterback.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, the quarterback that you
picked over him.
Yeah, that you
picked
over him.
That you paid instead of paying the running back.
You didn't pay Saquon Barkley because you said, no, we got to pay Daniel
Jones. You got to pay the quarterback. Quarterback out of Duke. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah. You hire engineers from Duke.
Exactly.
You might draft a Duke basketball player and pray
exactly.
He stays healthy.
Exactly.
And doesn't balloon up to 300,000 pounds. But no, you picked a quarterback in the top 10, and then you gave him a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Real smart.
So Saquon, though, has been phenomenal in Philly. Like, it's so impressive to see what he's doing behind a competent offensive line for the first time.
Should he
be
in the MVP conversation?
He should. But unfortunately, like I said, it's all biases and it's just a quarterback award now. But he absolutely should be in the conversation for MVP the same way Christian McCaffrey should have been in it last year.
Right. Okay. All right. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. So my pick for the midway offensive player of the year, I'm going to stay in the backfield. I'm going to stay with the running back, but I'm going home.
I'm going home.
I'm going home to number 22, King Henry. When this dude, would you, I don't care if you weighed 275 pounds, when you see this dude coming downhill, running 4-5 speed at 255, 260 pounds.
All you gotta do is get out the way.
make a business in. Ole, go ahead with your bad self.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Henry.
1,100 yards through 10 games. Double-digit touchdowns already. Probably going to get close to, if not 2,000 on a year. That's an offensive player. Is he the MVP? No. But he is and should be. He's the first half offensive MVP, and he probably will be the regular season Offensive Player of the Year. King Henry in the Baltimore Ravens. If you're out there, you got prize picks or fantasy football, I hope you're starting them against the Chargers Monday night.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Okay. There's our Offensive Player of the Year. Dom pick. Who'd you pick again?
Saquon.
And yeah. I picked Derrick Henry. Running backs winning some hardware.
Running backs still matter, damn
it. They sure do. Defensive Player of the Year. Who you got?
This time I will be the homer.
Okay.
It's TJ. TJ Watt. Listen, man, I don't care what anyone says. Outside of Aaron Donald, there hasn't been a single person in the NFL, better defensive player in the NFL than TJ Watt. Outside of Aaron Donald for the past 5 or 6 years, in my opinion. I
will not, you know, disagree with you.
I think he's another guy who should be in that conversation for MVP just because of how much he means to the team. The Steelers have played a total of like 13 games without TJ Watt over the course of his career. They've won one of those games. Like, he's so important to that team. Has 7.5 sacks this season, on pace to have another 14-plus sack season, which would be like the sixth time in his career, sixth time in 8 seasons. Leads the league in tackles for loss and forced fumbles currently. And he's the leader of what is currently, I believe, the second best scoring defense in the league.
Mm-hmm. So you mean, you know, TJ Watt, who should have been an Atlanta Falcon.
TJ, absolutely.
Who should have been Atlanta Falcon.
Should have been, you know, defensive player of the year last year, too.
Do you know who we picked that year that TJ Watt was in the draft?
Was that, who was that? Was that?
I played for my grandma.
I was going to say, was that Tack McKinley? Yeah, that was Tack McKinley.
What's Tack McKinley doing right now?
I don't know. Where is he? Is he still in the league?
I hope he invested that money. I hope he invested that money. While TJ Watt is winning players of the years and MVP candidates, Tack McKinley is somewhere, hopefully invested his money well in something really good. And still looking at pictures of his grandma. That's what he's doing. And I love my grandma too. Okay? I miss my grandma just as much as he does. But man, the Falcons have swung and missed.
Yeah, some bad picks.
Real defensive players.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we gotta pick the space up a little bit. All right, my defensive player of the year is Chris Jones from the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, these boys just lost their first regular season game in like a whole year.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not the offense that's been carrying this team.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not the offense. I know Pat Mahomes is a bad boy. It's not the offense that's been carrying the Chiefs. It's been the defense. And that defense starts and ends with Chris Jones, and they gave him his money, and he's playing like it. So that's my defensive player of the year. So real quick, give me both. Give me your MVP and coach of the year. First half awards from Dom Taroski.
Yes, so my coach of the year, I don't know how you can give it to anyone other than Dan Campbell right now. The Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL, hands down. I don't think it's close.
Mm-hmm.
They not only win a ton of games, but they win them looking dominant.
Yeah, they're dominant,
It doesn't matter who's out there on the field. They go
putting
out there.
Putting up 45, 50 points.
Yeah, and like you just don't see that in the NFL, where it's very rare where a team goes out there and just outclasses another opponent on a week-to-week basis, and that's what they are doing. They're like Dan Campbell said.
Did you ever think you would say that about the Detroit
Lions? Exactly. Think about that.
That's a franchise. One of the 5 franchises that have never played in a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Not even played in a Super Bowl. Not lost and not won. Hadn't even played in the game.
And now they might be favorites to make it.
Yeah.
So I think you got to give it to Dan Campbell. And then MVP, I am going to give it to Josh Allen. This year, this was supposed to be the year where, like, everyone thought Josh Allen was going to kind of be
closed,
a fraud.
Yeah,
and like, oh, the window is closed. Uh-huh. Stephon Diggs is gone. Uh-huh. He doesn't have any weapons.
Yep.
What are they going to do now? And the Bills
trade away 3 of the best defenders or let them walk or whatever. Yeah.
And here the Bills are, still the best team in their division.
He wills them to wins week in and week out.
Week in and week out. Yep. So I got to get it to Josh Allen.
Okay. All right. So we got to get out of here. I'm going to give you my 2 real quick. I actually changed this just a couple days ago when I was, you know, doing my rundown and I picked about it. All right, so if Kansas City had went into Buffalo and beat them, I would have not have picked Josh Allen as my first half MVP. But since they did end Kansas City's 15-game winning streak or whatever it was, I agree with you 100%. I wanted to say Lamar. Lamar hasn't had a good couple games in the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Lamar can change my mind on Monday night.
That's true.
But right now, it is definitely Josh Allen. Josh Allen, what the Buffalo Bills would be without Josh Allen, nobody wants to know. Matter of fact, I think the only reason they are building a new stadium in Buffalo is because of Josh Allen.
Absolutely.
They should just name it Josh Allen Stadium.
Absolutely.
All right. And my coach of the year, and only because I looked at this and I couldn't believe it, I just want to show Andy Reid some love. Andy Reid has only won like coach of the year like once
and he absolutely
in his storied career.
Yeah, he
3 Super Bowls. four NFC championships.
Having this Kansas City Chiefs team
at 9-1?
At 9-1, when you've lost Hollywood Brown, you've lost Isaiah Pacheco, you've lost so many guys.
And you're everybody's target. You have the bullseye on your back every single week.
Every week.
He's doing a heck of a coaching job. A heck of a coaching job.
Yeah, it's
phenomenal. The fact that he's only won one in his career, insane. First ballot, definitely first ballot, Hall of Fame coach. So that's our awards. If you agree with us, hit us up on Twitter at 929thegame or the Solomon Brothers text line. That is open tonight, too, 404-726-0929. Go open those phones up in a little bit. We come back. What are we going to talk about next? We're going to talk about the Sunday slate of games. All right. It's Sports Radio 929 The Game. This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter, Dom on the other side, and it's a beautiful Saturday night here in the ATL.
Keeping you plugged into the Atlanta sports scene on the weekends.
This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter.
You already know who it is.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dom, I don't know some of these songs you play, man. That's a serious bass line right there, but you definitely catch me off guard with some of these.
A little bit of Run the Jewels.
That's Run the Jewels?
Yep.
My boy Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What's his partner name on Run the Jewels?
LP.
LP. LP mm-hmm. and Killer Mike. Okay, all right. That's my Morehouse brother, Killer Mike. A lot of people don't know that. He went to Morehouse. He only went for 1 year, but he gets the credit. You go for 1 year, you get a couple classes in, you are forever part of the Morehouse family. So
he's a Morehouse man.
Yes, he is. Shouts out to my man Killer Mike, Grammy Award winner, entrepreneur. You saw that him and T.I. brought back the Atlanta Seafood, whatever it's called, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit that up because I'm a seafood guy growing up in Maryland.
Absolutely.
I want to check out the crab cakes. I heard go follow him on Twitter. They said the crab cakes got no filler.
Okay, I love that. See, I was gonna say I always feel so bad whenever I like have friends or something like that and they're like allergic to shellfish or seafood, and I'm like, boy, life
you,
has
you're
to
deprived.
Suck.
This is just deprived in your life.
I was like, some life has you to suck. I couldn't imagine not being able to have like shrimp or
no seafood scampi. And not only that, you know, you can't even have a dish that you know comes close to it. You know, people that have a peanut allergy, man, you got to be so careful.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you got to go to stores, make sure, hey, no peanut oil, no peanut butter, no candy.
Yeah, can't even cook it in the same bowl.
I'm like, wow. I mean, yeah, that's tough. Yeah, no, I don't think, you know, growing up in Maryland, if you have a shellfish allergy, I think they ban you from the state.
They just kick you out. Yeah,
you know,
there's no place for you.
Every dish we make's got some type of seafood in it.
No place for you here.
It is what it is. Time Out with Eric Slaughter. 404-726-0929, always on the Odyssey app. Looking at some of these scores, Auburn is now in the third quarter. They are on defense. They're still on top of Texas A&M 21-7. I think Notre Dame had jumped out to a big lead. My poor Black Knights of Army. 35-7, Notre Dame now up. That is late in the third. I think Notre Dame is for real. I mean, if Notre Dame had not dropped that game to Northern Illinois, which is definitely just a trap game for them, you know, a 10-0 Notre Dame right now, they would at least be number two in the college football rankings. You know, they'll be 10-1 after tonight, so they will be 11-0. How could they not be number two? If Oregon's undefeated at number one, and believe it or not, I think Notre Dame was ranked ahead of Oregon maybe early in the year. And even though it's been a long time, those committee members put some respect on Notre Dame's name. You know, they remember when, as my late aunt used to always say, I remember when. Those people in that room remember when Notre Dame was the creme de la creme of college football. So if Notre Dame was 11-0, they would at least be number two. They might even be the number one team in the college football playoffs. But they are number six right now. They are really taking care of their business against an undefeated Army team. So did anybody in the top five lose? I don't think anybody in the top five lose. We've had all the losses beneath that in the ranking. So they'll probably stay at number six. They do not get a conference championship. Now that would be the crazy part, and good thing it didn't happen, because if you were Notre Dame and you go undefeated and you can't get one of those top four seeds because you're not a power four conference, they don't get an automatic bid. Yep. Now, I think, okay, so what's the rule? They do get, but they're not in a conference because you might know better than me, so the top, the four conference winners get automatic, and then The top four seeds, though, go to the...
So you have your Power Four.
Right.
You have your conference, and then you have the best group of five conference champ.
Who has the highest ranking, right?
Right.
And right now, Boise State would have a higher ranking than the Big 12 champion. Mm-hmm. That's why they have Boise State getting a bye.
Yes.
If it happened today.
Correct.
I think that's crazy, too.
Yeah.
I just think that's crazy.
That's how it works.
But with Notre Dame not being a conference champion, even if they were 12-0 at the end of their year, the highest they could be would be number five.
Yeah, I would say I believe the highest they would be able to be is fifth.
Fifth. Wow. Notre Dame would be insane. They would just be like, you can't believe they got to change this by next year because we're Notre Dame. Don't you know who we are? Wow, that's crazy. But we'll see what happens. I think Notre Dame, because obviously that USC game don't mean anything to them no more. USC will be up next here on Sports Radio 99 game. USC is only 5-5. That is not how they wanted to start their Big Ten regime. UCLA is 4-6, so that game has lost some luster, but it's still a rivalry game. It's the Battle of L.A. at the Coliseum or in Pasadena, wherever they play that game, I don't know. But then you'll hear that next coming up on Sports Radio 99 game. Let's see, what does Notre Dame have left? So, no, Notre Dame has Army tonight, and then they have USC, and that's it.
Well, the thing is, if you're Notre Dame, not playing in a conference might actually help you, because if the highest you can get to five, the way the bracket currently sits, the fifth seed is the spot you want to be.
They're probably going to be there, right?
Yeah. But they'll play
the 12.
Because you'll play, as of right now, the bracket would be you would take on 12th ranked BYU,
mm-hmm, who
in the
obviously
first
is
round,
not as good as
and
any.
That, by the way, would be a home game.
Okay.
For Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have, in the quarterfinals, you'd take on Boise State.
In a bowl, so a bowl, some mm-hmm. type of bowl game.
In a bowl game. Yeah. And then you'd have the semifinals, which would be the winner of, it would be one of these three as of right now. It would be, or if Notre Dame moves, it would be different. But it would be like Oregon or Bama, which means more than likely is who you would have to face off in the semifinals. And then you're in the championship.
Okay. Now, Notre Dame, who will play next Saturday night out in L.A. at the Coliseum versus USC, a USA team, they'll probably be 6-5, not you know, halfway as good as they thought they would be, in a USC team that's really licking their wounds because they just lost out on the number one and number two quarterback in the country, depending on who you ask. The young man out of Carrollton, Georgia, right here, who's chosen to go to Colorado after, you know, a year being committed to USC for over a year, and then Colorado goes out and lays an egg today. I know he's not going to change his mind, even though he could again. Indiana lost, laid an egg today, too. So, he's not. That was his three top schools, right?
Right. So, speaking of Juju and mm-hmm. everything that happened with him.
You say it like you know him, Juju. My boy. Not Julian Lewis. Juju.
Julian Lewis. No.
That's my boy.
You're right. No. Julian Lewis.
Yeah.
But speaking of him, and his commitment to go to Colorado, because I've seen some people throwing this around, and I tend to be on one side of the fence. I want to see where you are. Do you agree with the thought process that I have that Julian signing or committing to Colorado means Deion isn't going anywhere?
Yes. I would say that I would think his family, and you know, that's the good part about it is, I don't know his family, but I have met his dad when I was walking on Carrollton's sidelines. We've been covering here on 99 The Game every Friday night.
Right.
Dom, you're a big part of it. 5 hours of high school football coverage. We started covering Carrollton. I mean, we've been covering, because this is year five of the high school scoreboard show.
Yeah.
This is on his third year of high school. We've been covering Carrollton. That's been one of the best teams ever since. We remember him as a freshman when he came out of nowhere and blew up as a freshman. Technically, he's still only a junior. You know, he's reclassed. People don't know that. That young man, 17 years old, he's a junior on the football field, but he's a senior in the classroom. That's why he'll be at Colorado next year. I met his dad the first year I was out there covering him. Like I said, I'm not going to call him Juju yet, but I would think they talked to him and they said, can you please give us some type of assurance that you'll be here? And Deion, if one thing Deion Sanders is, he's a man of his word.
Mm.
Okay? So if he looked that young man in the eye and said, look, you commit to me, I'll be your coach next year. I doubt he would have said to them, this is the deal. I can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably would, if I'm Juju Lewis, I would say, well, coach, if you can't answer that question,
I can't commit. Yeah.
But if you tell me yes, I'll be here, I'll be beside you. So that would be where I stand on that. I wasn't a part of it. To be a fly on that wall or have a bug on that phone, that would be some stuff, you know. But I do think playing time, immediate playing time, and all that stuff went into his decision, because just like the quarterback from Buford that should have went to Georgia, went to Nebraska.
Dylan Raiola, yep.
Dylan Raiola, he said, hey, I want to play as a true freshman. There was no guarantee that Juju Lewis was going to go to USC because there's another five-star there already.
Yeah.
I know one left to go to Boise.
Yeah, they were probably going to have him sit behind the same way Arch Manning is doing in Texas.
We know the minute he gets to Boulder, Colorado, that team's his. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it as well. So there's that. We'll see what happens. Colorado lays an egg today. Indiana, you just, you know, you had your chance to make a statement, and the statement you did not make. Okay, we'll see what happens. All right, keep it going here. We'll be coming up next, Sports Radio 929 game. We'll keep going through these college scores, and eventually we'll look at the NFL games on Sunday. I'm Eric Slaughter. That's my man Dom Chorosky. This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter, and we are all day, every day on the Odyssey app.
Now, here's more Time Out with Eric Slaughter.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. 9:39, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Saturday night in the ATL. A brisk, cool Saturday night. What's the temperature out there right now? Probably in the 40s or so. You know, still pretty weather out there. You know, if you're out there, you hit it to the club, you hit it to wherever you might go, the late comedy show. Make sure you listen to us on the Odyssey app, driving safe, being safe, you know. Make sure you, how my man Dylan said, make sure you get those Ubers and Lyfts, and shouts out to all our late night Uber Lyft drivers, first responders, and all that stuff. You know, this is Saturday night. Be safe out there. There's no need to ever get behind the wheel if you've been enjoying some adult beverages. Not when you can get a car come right to where you are from the tap of your phone. I mean, technology is so terrific.
Yep, no excuses, you know, man.
I mean, what we have, you know, I mean, we were spoiled. I mean, Dom, I'm a little older than you, but I ain't that much older than you. I mean, we've had delivery food all our lives. You know,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we can get pizza coming, Chinese food, things like that. We've grown up with some luxuries. You know, we've had the internet all our lives, but what we got today, man. Do you ever remember actually calling a cab company? Hey, this is Dom. I need a cab at this address, and they'll say, okay, I'll get your cab in 25 minutes.
So calling a cab, is a little before me.
A little before you,
yeah,
okay.
A little before me. I never had to call a cab myself.
Okay. Now, grew up here in Atlanta, so were you a regular MARTA user? You
know, I did use MARTA.
Ridden a subway or a train.
Yeah, no, I've definitely used MARTA. Yeah, definitely
okay.
used MARTA.
Okay, but you know, was that something part of your life though growing up? You know?
For me, it was more so like when I got to college.
When you got to college, okay, yeah. You went to Georgia State, okay, yep. All right, no problem. But I mean, to be able to pick up your telephone, okay, hit a button, okay, and your phone automatically can tell a vehicle that's being driven by a stranger,
yep,
exactly, yep, where you are standing to come pick you up. It's going to tell you where you're going to go, how long it's going to take you, and you don't need no cash. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I still try to carry maybe $15, $20 on me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times, I mean, every time now I walk into a restaurant and it says we are cashless, and I'm like,
I hate when I see that so much.
I'm like, this is a restaurant and you are cashless. I mean, I know we have come a long ways, but man, oh man, oh man. Just, I mean, it's good and it's bad. It's some great things. I mean, I was visiting with my mom earlier this week and she was like, hey man, do me a favor, update my Uber app because something happened. I was like, okay, mama, update your app. All it was your credit card expired. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, when moms is ordering Uber for her, and mom's 75 years old. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It is. It is funny to see how much the world has changed. So, yeah, like, I have 3 younger siblings, so I'm the oldest. But one of my younger siblings, Dawson, he's 7 years younger than me.
Okay.
And it's funny because I remember talking to him not too long ago, and I remember asking him, like, just how, again, just to show you, like, how different the world is, I was like, have you ever actually seen a floppy disk?
He didn't even know what floppy disk. He might even know what a CD-ROM is.
So I was going to say, he knew what a floppy disk was, but he was like, I've never actually seen or held one, like, physically in my hands. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just an idea to me. Mm-hmm. Like floppy disks are just, like, an idea. It's not a tangible thing that he actually used. And I mean, like, that's so crazy. Because, like, I remember like needing floppy disk for school and stuff in elementary school.
With all of its 3 megabytes or of storage.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
know, now you get a jump drive with 5 trillion.
Right. You got 32 gigabytes on your phone.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I remember this is the crazy thought about me. I remember the first time I burned a CD with music. I thought I was the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you can make MP3 files and you can put 50 songs on a CD.
Yep.
I remember what's the old classic Biggie rhyme? CD six disc CD changer, man. Uh-huh. I had a 6 disc CD changer.
Yep.
You know, I had a 6 disc. Wow. You know, I had the CD thing over my visor and I would pick my CDs and I'm like, yep, I'm good to go.
Man, it's funny. I was just like, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize things where I'm just like, as the youth.
And you ain't old, Dom. You
right,
ain't
right.
Old.
I'm not even old, right? Yeah. Right. I said, as I'm getting older, I'm not old. But as I'm maturing, it's funny because I feel like I see myself when you're younger, all you ever want is for things to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm realizing the more I'm maturing and like the older I get, the more I'm just kind of like, I kind of wish things would go back to the way they were.
I'll tell you, you want to know my old man moment? Okay, this is my old man moment. So I have nieces and nephews, and they've all gotten bigger. They got to the point where they actually will buy me Christmas gifts now and birthday gifts and things like that, okay? And my dad is long gone, but I know my dad would smile when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I remember when I used to tell people, man, you know, don't give me no old man gifts like socks and underwear and mm-hmm. T-shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll be looking forward to socks
and underwear. Socks and underwear.
I'm like,
absolutely.
You got me some socks and underwear. This is the best gift I've ever
absolutely.
Had.
Used to hate getting clothes.
This is exactly what I need.
Right. Used to hated getting clothes for Christmas and stuff when you were a kid. Now it's like somebody gets you clothes. It's like, oh, great. This is fantastic. This is what I need.
I needed a new sweater.
You know what?
I needed a new pair of gloves.
You know, because what made me really think about it as far as like just wanting things to go back to the way they were, it was funny because my girlfriend and I had her watch the movie Four Brothers recently.
A young Tyrese.
Mark
Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg and Andre 3000. Yeah. Because she had never seen it, so we watched that. But when we pulled it up on the streaming side or whatever, they played the trailer for it when it first came on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trailer, because, you know, Four Brothers is an old movie. It came out in like 2004,
yeah, it's over 20
5, 6,
years old.
Like
yeah,
that.
It's over 20 years old.
But in that trailer, they still had the classic voiceover guy, the "In a World Where One Man,"
yeah. Okay.
And it still had that in the trailer. And I was like, "Man, I haven't heard that in forever. I miss that."
Yeah,
like
for 4 young brothers in Detroit.
Exactly.
No one wanted them except one old lady.
I was like, "Oh man, I miss when trailers sounded like that." Yeah, like, man,
man, that was a good movie too.
Was I enjoyed that movie.
I mean, you know what? It's two things. You know, and Tyrese is a friend of the station. He's been on 92.9 The Game a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, there's two. When Mark Wahlberg, I remember Marky Mark. I remember Cool Vibrations or whatever it was called. You know,
yeah.
That was one guy. I was like, this dude is a horrible actor, but he has really, really, you know, worked on his craft, mm-hmm. and he is legitimately a real good actor.
Yeah,
man.
He's solid.
I was surprised about
he's
that.
Solid.
You know?
Yeah, he's solid.
You know, now, did you hear Andre is up for Album of the Year for this flute?
Yeah.
Thing?
Listen. You know what? Shout out to 3 Stacks. Love that he's getting the recognition. Mm-hmm. Love that he's getting.
Is that the new nickname? 3000 3 Stacks.
Yeah, you know, 3 Stacks.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But
you say so.
I feel like there's some corporate games being played there, or maybe it's a hype machine because mm-hmm. I like the flute album.
You actually listen to it?
Yeah, because I like stuff like that, especially when I'm trying to go to sleep, because I feel like I have
easy music to go to.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I have
nighttime music.
Yeah, I have undiagnosed insomnia, so
okay.
Sometimes I will throw like rain sounds or something like that on. So like the flute album was kind of perfect for that.
Okay,
so
I can find
some stuff, and it's just cool, you know, just nice relaxing music, but. Does it deserve Album of the Year recognition? No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
I haven't heard a single note of it. You know, I first saw a young Outkast when they performed in the AU Center as one of their, this is one of their first concerts
mm-hmm.
as a group. I think Andre was like 20, Big Boy was like 21, and I mean, no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
You know, Outkast, other, I mean, JD was there. I mean, because in the AU Center, Morehouse, Clark, Atlanta, Spelman, shout out to AU Center, concerts are regular. And we had a young Outkast come to perform on a Friday night. I mean, they put on a good show, but everybody's like, who are these guys? You know? And then to see what they became, man, and this man is going up for the Flute Album of the Year. Hey, Three Stacks, whatever you call them, more power to you, brother. More power to you. And shout out to Big Boy, another regular here with Odyssey and Sports Radio 99 Game. So if he wins this thing, I mean, that's going to be crazy. But we'll see. I heard there's some really good albums up for the Grammys. I get those nominations just came out like last week.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. I don't know where this segment has gone to. What were we supposed to be talking about? I mean, it's almost 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. You know, I'm glad that we're on the air. A lot of the last couple Saturdays have been all Atlanta United. Once again, you will catch Atlanta United tomorrow. So it's a different lineup here on Sports Radio 929 The Game tomorrow. It's a Sunday, but it's not a Falcons Sunday because the Falcons are on a bye. So real quick, I'll let you know, Sam and Greg will be back in their normal 6 a.m. time slot, but they get an extra hour, 10 to 2. Our guy, John Fricky. So the phone lines will be open. You know, I don't book guests. You are my guest, John Fricky.
Yes, the fan show.
You can talk to him all for 3 hours from 10 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, we will have a special Atlanta United pregame show with Rob Tribble and Joe Patrick, who is a great sports reporter. He covers the Falcons and Atlanta United for us, and they will take you up to the Atlanta United pregame. Now, will we have
Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman?
As usual, we will have them as well. Yes. So we have kind of double Atlanta United pregame show because that Rob Tribble and Joe Patrick show is Atlanta United themed. I don't know if they'll talk about any other things, but it's definitely Atlanta United themed.
You can think of that one as the tailgate.
Okay,
and
there you
then
go.
You got your pregame.
There you go.
And then
you got
your match.
Yep, and then I think kickoff for Atlanta United and Orlando FC is scheduled for 3:30. I know you are on the board for that, and we will see if the Five Stripes can keep this thing going.
Hey,
I was listening to Mike on that promo. Mike is just like me. When he gets excited, that voice, the octaves go up, and he kind of get a little hoarse, and he was like, damn, pulled off the greatest upset.
Listen, because you know what, as someone who was not a huge soccer fan, and never, like, even now, I'm not, like, a super aficionado, and, like, but as someone who has been through the ups and downs with this team,
especially the last 4 years working here.
Yeah, like, I've been working here the past few years, and being through the ups and downs, specifically for this season, because it has been such a rocky
3 months ride. Ago, we never thought we'd be in the playoffs,
never.
Let alone out of the second round.
Goodness
my
gracious.
God.
And to see them lock in the way that they have to, I mean, they've basically been playing playoff games or matches for the past month.
2.5 months? Well, before that, because the last five regular season games
you needed
were pretty much must wins, right?
Must wins.
You know?
So to see them getting this opportunity now, what they're doing, knocking off
the number one
Messi,
seed.
Yeah, incredible. I don't know what else you have to see from Rob Valentino.
To give him the job,
but If it was my call to make,
he'd been
it
hired.
Been made
just
by
why, wait time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and name this man full time manager.
Absolutely.
And keep this thing pushing. Go out there in an international game and find some new young talent and get healthy again because we're still missing 3 or 4 of our top players, right? You know more than I do.
We're still banged up a little bit, but for the most part, we're
healthy.
We're getting there.
We're getting there for the most part.
We got a couple guys that are still banged up, but
there we go. The Five Stripes. But that game you will hear kickoff of that second round MLS Cup playoff game right here at 3:30. Game 1 of 3. When is the home game? Will be next Saturday night. We got the schedule right here. So the home game is. It's not on our playoff. It's not on our rundown here. So you let me know if you get it. So tomorrow we will have the Atlanta Five Stripes versus Orlando. We will have one NFL game, the late game, Philadelphia at the LA Rams. That's a good one. That'll be the late game, and that will be a part of our late coverage here. Abe Gordon, they will have a pre- and post-game show with Abe, and then we'll turn it over to NFL game. What was you saying? Do you see when is the game 2 of that series that will be played here in Atlanta?
So I was going to say, I believe we've already played our last home match for the season.
So is this not a best of 3?
It will be, but I believe the way that it works out with scheduling and stuff in the postseason, I think all of the matches may be in Orlando. I could be wrong.
Really? Okay.
I could be wrong.
I do not know,
verify.
And I'm sure if Mike
because I don't see the schedule. Yes, I'm sure Mike is furious with me because I should know this, and it's just escaping me at the moment. So I do apologize.
All right. Well, you know, all that matters is they go in there and get the W tomorrow. Go in there and get the W tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's playoffs. There will be no ties. It'll either be a win in play regular time, or you'll go to penalty kicks, and let's see what happens. Now on Monday, the Hawks return to action as they will host the Dallas Mavericks coming back from their long West Coast trip, and then you'll get Monday Night Football downstairs on WLK. The Hawks will have three games next week, and then, of course, we'll have all of the NFL games on Thanksgiving Thursday. Wow, Thanksgiving is here. Thanksgiving is here. We'll have all the games on Thanksgiving Thursday, a triple header, the Bears and the Lions, the Giants and the Cowboys, and the late nightcap is the Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers. We are really here. Thanksgiving, the week to give thanks is upon us. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be sitting on this side of the glass again. I'm thankful for being here to talking to you guys here in Atlanta on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are thankful that you are listening to us, 404-726-0929. And we're also thankful that you download and favor us on the Odyssey app.
When it comes to sports, there's always something happening in the A.
And we're here to cover it.
This is Time Out with Eric Slaughter
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Dom, your mind was not playing a trick on you. You are correct. So, I looked up the brackets. And what it is now everything is just single match win in advance.
Yeah.
And since Atlanta United is the lowest remaining seed, no matter what, they will have to be road warriors throughout the rest of the MLS playoffs. So if they win tomorrow, so they actually have playoff games tonight. The New York Red Bulls have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they will wait to play the winner of Atlanta United, who are the 9 seed, and the 4 seed Orlando City SC. So the winner of that game will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals and take on the New York Red Bulls. If Orlando City wins, they will host New York. If Atlanta United wins, and when Atlanta United wins, because I think throughout the history of the series of the two teams, Atlanta United has a winning record overall, even though Orlando finished with a better record this year. But traditionally, we have kind of owned Orlando City.
United had to beat Orlando to get in.
They beat them in the last regular season, right?
And they did.
So, I mean, there's a really good chance that we could be in the Eastern Conference Finals playing the New York Red Bulls. And so I know NYCFC, one of those teams play at Yankee Stadium. I don't think it's the Red Bulls. I think that's NYCFC, who they played tonight. Tonight was the Battle of New York. Mm-hmm. NYCFC, New York City Football Club, played the New York Red Bulls. And if Atlanta United does advance, they will play the Red Bulls, and that will be next Saturday. And the Red Bulls play at Red Bull Arena. They actually play, even though they're New York Red Bulls, just like the New York Giants, they play in New Jersey.
What's up with that? What's up? Why do all the New York teams play in New Jersey?
Because the land that they need to build the big stadium complexes is abundant in New Jersey, lesser expensive, and it's right over the bridge. You know, so it's a really cheap drive. I mean, you know, back in the day, most people do not realize. I remember it. I remember when the New York Giants played at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, you know, I'm that old. You know, I'm that old. I was a young boy, but you know, the original Meadowlands opened in the early 1980s. You know, so I was a young boy. So I remember watching both the New York Jets. The New York Jets played at Shea Stadium, where the Mets played. And the New York Giants played at Yankee Stadium. And then they built the Meadowlands in the early 1980s, and they made it for both the Jets and the Giants. Yes, they did. And I'm old enough to remember that. I'm getting old. Every day I look in the mirror, I see more gray hair. I'm like, where is this coming from? I just thought you had to be a really old man to have gray hair. I still have a 4 in front of my number, you know, and I've pretty much, as my barber says, you got all salt, no pepper, didn't you? I do, because I have, especially in my beard and stuff, I don't grow it out because it's just, I look like Dion.
You see Dion with his white beard? Yeah, just all gray.
But, you know, all gray. All, or silver or whatever you call it.
Silver fox.
You know, So, yeah. All right. Good luck. Five Stripes, take on Orlando City and do what you got to do and get that trip to New York. Ooh, that'll be different. I mean, what's the temperature going to be in Orlando tomorrow for that game? Probably in the high 70s or so. They're going to play a mid 330 game in Orlando, Florida in late November, probably in the mid 70s, I would bet. If you advance to that final, have to go to New York in the first week of December, 25, 30 degrees maybe. What you got?
I say tomorrow in Orlando around 3:30 p.m. it is scheduled to be about 73 degrees.
Perfect weather.
Perfect.
Perfect weather for an outdoor soccer match. And then a week later, if you have to go to New York, I'm not going to look it up. You ain't got to look it up. I'll bet you the high will be maybe 40 degrees. Definitely will be a much colder affair. But they'd rather be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals than watching the Eastern Conference Finals. What was it today in New York?
41 degrees.
41 degrees. There you go. Add another week to it. Probably drop another degree or two. And that's what you'll be looking at if you advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. But we're going to hope they do it. And make sure you are listening right here tomorrow. If you're watching on TV, now you can use that technology where you can link up your TV to our feed. You know, Apple TV created that great technology where you can listen to Mike Conti and Jason Longshore as they give you the play-by-play, and you can get those great goal calls that only Mike Conti can do. So hopefully they'll be here, lots of those tomorrow. I feel good about this. I feel good. I think the Five Stripes will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, being the 9 seed, the final team to qualify, had to play in the wild card round. Had to play in the first round, win a best out of three, taking down the number one in the Miami FC. And now they're looking to advance yet again. And once again, hear all that right here on 92.9 The Game tomorrow. Falcons will have a bye. They will wait and see what happens on Monday Night Football when the Ravens host the Chargers. I'm sorry, the Chargers will host the Ravens. And then the Chargers will play a late game Monday, have a short week, and have to fly all the way across the country. So they should be ripe for the picking for the Falcons when they come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not this Sunday, but the Sunday following, hopefully after a big loss from the Baltimore Ravens. So real quick, let's go ahead and look at the full slate of games in the NFL tomorrow. We definitely have some teams on a bye, including the Falcons. Let's see what we have in the early time slots. No more international games. All those games are done. No more Germany. No more London.
No more Mexico.
No more Mexico. No more Viva La France. Wherever they played those games, that's all done. All right. So everything's in the States now. In the 1 o'clock window, the first game on the slate, well, they all at 1 o'clock, but they go in alphabetical order. The Chicago Bears, 4-6. Will host the 8-2, 4-1, and Sam Darnold for MVP Minnesota Vikings. The Bears can't get out of the way of a paper bag right now. A month ago, Caleb Williams might have been rookie of the year because he had a really good first three or four games.
Yep.
And now he is definitely not going to be that. Sam Darnold will continue on his track to, say, include me in MVP. Sam Darnold has 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I didn't know his INTs were that high. Justin Jefferson is almost to 1,000 yards already, 59 receptions, 912 yards, and 5 TDs. And the Vikings are a 4-point road favorite. I think the Vikings win and cover that pretty easy.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right. Second game in the 1 o'clock slot, the Detroit Lions, the first-place Detroit Lions, 5-0 on the road. Now, they'll have a short week because the Lions, one of those teams that host every Thanksgiving, they will travel to Indianapolis. The Colts, 5-6. The Lions are an 8-point road favorite. The Colts have had up and down years. They've benched their quarterback, played their quarterback, benched their quarterback. I never thought Anthony Richardson should have been a top five pick.
Their quarterback benched himself.
Yeah, I never thought he should have been a top five pick. I told anybody that was listening 2 years ago, this was a bad pick. He was not. He didn't play. I know he had a lot of athleticism, but if you watch the Florida tape, Anthony Richardson was a very inaccurate quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
To go for him with a top five pick, I thought that was a real reach, and it seems to be that maybe I was correct. I say the Lions win, and a touchdown, 8 points on the road. Ooh, with the way the Colts have been playing and the fact that the Lions are putting up 40 points a game,
yeah,
I think they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Continuing in the 1 o'clock slot, a AFC East matchup. This is a game that you can throw the records out because when these two teams play, it's actually usually pretty close. The Dolphins at 4-6 with a healthy Tua Tagovailoa will host the New England Patriots, who are 3-8. And have they started their rookie quarterback Drake May? Is he starting yet? Or
yeah, I don't understand. I mean, well, I understand why you started him, just because Jacoby Brissett
wasn't doing anything.
Was so bad this year. But I just, you knew that this team was not ready for him to come in and compete. You knew this team was not ready to protect him properly. Mm-hmm. So I guess obviously, you know, getting the reps is valuable and important. This is a situation with the Patriots where I feel like you should have sat Drake May the entire season and just like, hey, it's going to be bad, it's going to be rough, but we're not putting you out there behind this line, and especially not on this offense that is so devoid of talent right now. But they're getting some reps in. They're looking at how he's playing. He's done a pretty good job, all things considered. But, yeah.
So the Dolphins are a home touchdown favorite.
I like the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins.
Can they cover the 7?
Ooh.
I say they can. I think the Dolphins – Tyreek Hill, who's playing with a busted hand.
I'll take the Patriots plus 7.
You'll take the Patriots plus 7?
I'll take the Patriots plus 7.
Okay, we will mark that one down. All right, keep it rolling in the 1 o'clock slot. Up in the Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium, the 2-8 with Tommy DeVito starting at quarterback, New York Giants, will host the NFC South, our division rival, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are a road 6-point favorite.
Hey, man, listen.
Tommy DeVito.
I like Tommy Forget About It DeVito. I like him
a lot. He's a good fella.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. But, I do think that just because Daniel Jones is no longer the quarterback, I feel like Brian Daboll will be happier. The team will probably have a little bit more juice, but
Malik Nabers be happy. Malik Nabers is having a good rookie year. 61 receptions, 607 yards, and 3 TDs.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he'll be on the all-rookie team at least.
For sure. He's having a very good season. But I'm not picking the Giants to win that one.
All right. So Tampa Bay, what can they cover the touchdown? I bet you they probably can. I think they probably win that game like 26-10 or something.
Yeah, 10 points sounds good to me.
All right. Next up in the 1 o'clock slot, the Washington Commanders, the surprising 7-4. Second-place Washington Commanders will host the Stephen A. Smith-ridiculed Dallas Cowboys. Stephen A. will get another week to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys because the Commanders are going to whoop them and whoop them good.
Yes.
And then
yes,
they will host on Thanksgiving. It's just a bad time to be Jerry Jones.
Do we really got to, like, NFL, y'all are really going to subject us to Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito on Thanksgiving?
Is it the Giants versus the Cowboys?
It's Giants and Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
In the primetime 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
That's the game slot they always get.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you got to see.
Oh,
hey, that's when everybody should be having dinner.
Yeah.
You know what? For once, I mean, last time you said the best game on Thanksgiving is the Lions game?
Yes.
Because aren't they playing the Packers, I believe?
I think that might be. I think they're playing
the Packers. So when's the last time you're like, the 12 noon game is the game that we're most going to be paying attention to. I'll check the schedule for the Lions real quick. They are indeed playing the Green Bay. They play Green Bay later in the year. They're playing the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Bears, okay.
So it's a division game.
I knew it was a division game.
It's still the better of the two. It's still the better
definitely,
of the two.
Definitely better.
So have your dinner at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock Central. You know, when that Cowboys and Giants game comes
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Take a nap through that game.
Go.
So that way you can wake up for the night game.
Yeah, all right. Now, if you have a house or a college fund that you want to gamble tomorrow, this is the game that you should gamble it on. The 9-1 Kansas City Chiefs will invade Charlotte, North Carolina to take on the 3-7 and surprisingly 2-3 at home Carolina Panthers.
Hey, listen. Bryce Young looks like he learned a little bit from his benching.
Okay.
He's played a lot better.
On his best day, with a Superman caper,
right.
He cannot beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, no, it's rough. Also, the Chiefs coming off
a loss.
I think they're going to be very, very focused. They're going to be sharp. Panthers, unfortunately, seem like they might just be lambs to the slaughter on this one.
Now, the problem is this. Now, see, I am not a spread better when I bet. I am
neither
a money line better.
Yeah, I do money line spreads.
I do money line. So The spread is Kansas City minus 10, but the money line, let's take a look at what the money line is. The money line is probably like Kansas City minus 350.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not taking that spread. The Chiefs do not cover against the spread.
Right, but they'll win by a field goal to 6.
Yeah, they will win the game for sure. They will not win by 10, though.
All right, keeping it going, 1 o'clock, last game on the 1 o'clock slate. This would have been a much better game, I would have thought, early in the year. But the Houston Texans, 7-4, first place, 4-1 at home, will host the Tennessee Titans, who are just a train wreck waiting to happen on their way to probably the first or second pick in the NFL draft. The Houston Texans are – everybody's a touchdown favorite. Houston Texans are a home touchdown favorite.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'll
like that, too.
I'll take that.
Yeah, they should win that game by probably 10, 12, 14 points. C.J. Stroud, the second-year quarterback, having a good year. All right, we got a couple to go. In the 4 o'clock time slate, the Broncos will invade Las Vegas. I like the Broncos in that one. 49ers and the Packers. That's a good 4 o'clock game. That's the primetime 4 o'clock Fox game. Packers at home. Packers 6-point favorite.
I would say, isn't Purdy out for that
Purdy
game?
Purdy is out.
Purdy
yes,
is out.
Purdy
yes,
is out.
Packers all day.
Packers all day. Cardinals and the Seahawks. The Cardinals are a surprising first-place team in the NFC West.
NFC West has been strange this year. Yeah. Give me the Cardinals.
Cardinals, and then your late game, Sunday night, Eagles at Rams. We've already talked enough about the Ravens and Chargers. So the Eagles, 8-2, 4-1 away from Lincoln Financial Field, go into L.A. where the Rams are 5-5 overall and 3-2 at home. The Eagles are a 3-point road favorite.
I like that. I like Eagles in that.
Yeah, I think the Eagles will go in there and actually put up a big number on the Rams. The Rams are not really that good this year. And Matthew Stafford, who I love, is not having a great year. He's already got 7 interceptions. All right, that's the Sunday slate of games. Got to take one more break. I'll recap some scores in college football, and then we will turn this thing over to UCLA, the Bruins, hosting the Trojans of Southern California. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Time out with me, Eric Slaughter. Dom Chorosky running the board and all day, every day on the Odyssey app.
Here we go, boys. Let's listen.
Back to more Time Out with Eric Slaughter.
Let's go.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, Dom, we've been doing all this talking and looking at all these scores, and I did not pay attention that Oklahoma is currently 21 points up.
Oh.
On Alabama.
Oh, wow.
In the fourth quarter. This would be a late season kind of good feeling win for Oklahoma. This ain't a get right because it's too late for them to get right on their season. But 24-3 under 10 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, the Oklahoma Sooners at home hosting the Crimson Tide, probably, if not the first time that those schools have ever, first time as SEC opponents for sure, but I guarantee you there can't be much history between Oklahoma Sooners and the Alabama Crimson Tide. But, wow, another SEC team on the ropes, on the road, in SEC play. That will be another huge upset. I mean, we've seen number 9 Ole Miss go down at Florida in Gainesville. Auburn is holding on for dear life. About 12 minutes to play. Auburn has the ball. What once was a 21-point lead is down to 4, as they are now ahead of Auburn, ahead of Texas A&M by the score of 28-24. A&M came in as a 10-point road favorite or something like that. We'll see what happens as they just sacked the Auburn quarterback and they will get the ball back. Looks like they'll have good field position when they do it too, because Auburn is deep in their own territory. But what a major upset it would be if Roll Tide goes down in Norman, Oklahoma.
Hey man, I said it a few weeks ago, kind of like half joking, but like it might be real now. Did Kalen DeBoer like sell his soul
to
get that win against Georgia? it feels like Bama sold
They've
their
struggled
soul.
Since.
To get that win over Georgia, Damn. And then, like, that was their national title. It feels like we beat Georgia, all right, we're good now.
So that would be their third loss, right? Because they lost to Vanderbilt.
Lost to Vandy, lost to
Tennessee.
Tennessee, and then, yeah, this would be three.
Would they be done? Would they be done?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know Alabama gets all the respect that anybody gets.
You can't.
But three losses?
Because here's the thing. You can't get embarrassed. And that's the thing. You're getting embarrassed by Oklahoma
right now. It's 24-3 an embarrassment?
It's 24. Three scores?
3 points. You mean 3 points?
That's
an embarrassment?
Huge.
Holding them to three, and it's not like.
Only scoring three against Oklahoma and then letting them. Like, again, this is a three-score game.
Mm-hmm.
You've been absolutely outclassed.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do have the ball. I mean, you still have 9 minutes and 41. Let's say they lose, and by some miracle, they get it to 24-20.
Even if you make it close, it's still a no. Because for the majority of this game, you were, like, I.
At the end of the first quarter, they were up 3-0.
Right. Goodness gracious. Yeah.
So Oklahoma has ran off 24 straight points.
I'm interested to see how far they're going to fall.
At number 7 right now in the current CFP rankings, what are they in the actual polls? Because I hate when they change all the things to the CFP rankings and not the polls. In the polls, they are, let's see, I think they're still in the top 10 in the polls. In the poll, in the AP 25, they're number 7 too. So they're number 7 in the AP top 25 and in the CFP rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia behind them in the AP poll at number 8, then the CFP rankings at number 10. So Ole Miss will drop, Alabama will drop, Indiana will drop.
BYU will drop.
BYU is already behind them. So let's say Georgia should wake up on Wednesday morning after the new rankings come out and be no worse than if they're at 10. They probably could leapfrog Miami. They won't leapfrog Notre Dame. Maybe 6.
I would say Georgia's probably going to be right at 6. They're going to be right outside of the top 5.
Okay. Wow. So Notre Dame gets into the top 5. I think Georgia leapfrogs Miami. I really do, because Miami's strength of schedule is just not good, even though Georgia didn't really show a great showing against UMass. Well, it'll be interesting to see. They're going to be either 6 or 7 at the worst.
Where's Bama going to be? That's where I want. That's that Bama's going to be like.
Tennessee gets into the top 10. Boise State gets into the top 10. Southern Meth, I bet you they're at 14 or 15.
I was going to say, they're probably going to be somewhere around.
Especially if so Colorado's lost, Texas A&M has lost. Look at Clemson. Clemson just sitting there like, yep, we're going to be here at the end just like we told you. We're probably going to win the ACC. So that means we're going to get an automatic, into this thing. Because if Miami had to play Clemson with the way Clemson's defense is playing right now, that's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Does the ACC even get two teams in? Very, very interesting. Wow. Here we go. This is crazy, crazy stuff. You know, I remember listening to Fricky. I actually was listening to Fricky this morning when I was driving to my softball games. And him and Gabe said that, you know, a lot of people thought the college playoff system would ruin regular season college football, but maybe it's just made it that more interesting.
I love it. I always said I was a fan of expanding the college football playoffs. I didn't expect them to jump to 12. I thought they would go to 8.
Yeah.
I thought that was the sweet
next,
spot.
I
love it. I love it.
Wow. It's going to be crazy. Well, we have to wait and see what happens. We'll see if Auburn can hold on and beat A&M, which A&M is driving right now, 5 of your top 15 teams could go down. Because I'm going to assume that Alabama does not come back and win this game. So we know 5 Indiana has gone down. We know 9 Ole Miss has gone down. We know 14 BYU has gone down. If Alabama goes down and Texas A&M 3 in SEC, that would be 5 of your top 15 all to lose today. Penn State barely held on and won at Minnesota by 1 point. Ohio State looked really good, beating the crap out of Indiana. Texas looked good. And I think Oregon had their bye this week, didn't they? Or did they not play? I don't think Oregon played this week. But Oregon's still 11-0 and will remain at number 1. So, Oregon had a bye. They played Wisconsin last week, barely won that game, had a bye, and they will finish their regular season against the Huskies of Washington. So I got to get ready to sign off. I actually want to take this thing right up to the intro of UCLA versus USC. So I got about a minute and a half left here before I say goodnight to you. I appreciate everybody for calling in earlier with some great calls about UGA and Georgia Tech, and had a call about Tennessee, had a one call about somebody else, who knows. I know there's some Alabama fans right now that if I could open these phone lines up, would definitely call. Woo, Nick Saban is, you never want to be the man to follow the man.
I was going
to
say,
don't want to be the man to follow the man.
I won't be here next week, Friday, unfortunately, but you guys will have to do a wellness check on Coach Parker.
Oh yeah, because he's an Alabama.
He's a Bama fan.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's at home going.
Yeah, he's probably at home throwing something
right
at TV.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know what? One of my best friends is a big Oklahoma fan, and Brian Venables needs this.
Mm.
Brian Venables probably is going to find himself on. This might be a job saving win for Brian Venables, who was the former defensive coordinator at Clemson. And a lot of people thought that he should have stayed and got the Clemson job because, you know, who knows, their coach could have been almost on the hot seat. And, you know, and then a lot of people always thought that when Dabo was done at Clemson, that he was going to be the next coach at Alabama. So, man, it made funny how things changed so quick and so fast. So we'll see what happens. I got a great sign off. We're going to, you know, follow it. I'll stay here in the studio because I'll just watch the last 8-9 minutes of it. Once again, Auburn is still holding on to 28-24 over Texas A&M. Notre Dame has really done what they were supposed to do. This is how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to make statements. Notre Dame is now up 35 points on the Army Golden Knights. And once again, Alabama is on the ropes, and they swinging for the knockout. We'll see if Oklahoma can do it. And that is my time. More college football is on the way here on Sports Radio 99 A Game, live from L.A., the Battle of L.A., the Bruins and the Trojans up next. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Don, for holding it down. And thank everybody out there. And always, always download the Odyssey app.